All right, Mace is here. Andy Kamenetsky is here today filling in for John. And that's kind of where I want to start, Mace.
What happened?
Did you just tell me that Mace doesn't know about this?
I don't believe I do.
Okay. He does not know anything about this.
There's a text chain going around. That's all I've heard.
So Chris just told me when he was in, it's a live imaging Thursday.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yep. And he was saying that John heard one of the opens for the Travis and Slee show. Was it yesterday, Slee?
I think so.
He sent Chris a note saying, hey, I like that. That was a funny line. It's about Boogie Nights, and they had a brief back and forth.
Okay.
And so Bergman was saying that he has not responded to you guys despite him reaching out, or you reaching out to him. Are you offended that he's randomly sending texts to other people?
I don't think I even noticed any of this stuff. Am I supposed to be really rankled by this whole thing?
If you're not, you're not.
So I was not.
Bergman sounded mildly rankled.
This might have been Bergman's heart.
Are you rankled, Berg?
No, I'm not rankled. I'm just, all I said to him was that this is funny. He's reaching out. Rankled is a weird word.
I like it.
I'm shocked that he reached out to Chris but has not responded to anything that we've put into the text message.
Well, what have you? I've not sent John anything. He's on vacation. I don't send him stuff.
We just sent a TikTok yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't expect people to respond to vacation texts.
No, neither do I. That's why we haven't been texting him.
But that's why you're unrankled.
He reached out to Morales.
Right.
And while he's in Idaho?
Ireland reaches out to Chris, Morales. Right.
Yes. But doesn't respond to anything that we put.
Yes.
I don't expect him to. But the fact is, he's reaching out to Chris.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can tell Bay's like, I don't give up.
I'm kind of disappointed that you're unranked.
I could go really hard on this, but I don't expect anybody to respond to text messages when they're on vacation. Now, I guess what John did was he was listening to the app somewhere in Idaho, heard something, texted Morales, said, hey, I really like that. Now, am I upset about that? No, I'm not upset about that.
Honestly, it's too bad. I was hoping you would be.
Rankled.
It feels more like a reflection of John listening to the shows in Idaho. It's like, unplug, man. Like, really? You should not have any idea.
The app. You can't listen to Travis Slee while you're on vacation. That's not an option.
You know, sometimes I will, and I never pay attention to anything, social media, anything on the station, Twitter, all that stuff when I'm on vacation. I always thought John never did either. But apparently John is listening to Travis and Slee. I think we've said all positive things about John, right?
It has been all positive.
All positive all about
like,
John.
That would mean that John is listening to, because you just said he's going to listen to
John,
own show.
What's up?
So he's listening to 6 hours a day minimum of radio while on vacation.
I like it.
Unplug, John.
Maybe the 9-hour mega block in Idaho.
There you go. Andy, you were in there when we were talking about Funches is on his
7. He's listening to Freddie Coleman. All the way through.
Yeah. Oh, Freddie has been gone the entire time. He hasn't even noticed.
Freddie's still doing it.
Freddie's knocking it out. Funches is on his honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Where'd he go?
Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Okay, so he's in
the
Cancun.
The all-inclusive one.
Love this.
So he sent us a picture on the beach yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful Cancun beach. It's a great picture.
Everything you think of. Like, imagine that setting.
It's the Corona commercial that he's living.
Okay, cool. Okay? Snoop just walked by.
Exactly. Only he's having Hennessy. On the beach.
He's drinking a Hennessy?
Yeah. And so Slee and I are like, it feels like there are certain alcohols that belong in certain places. And Hennessy on the beach just struck both of us as odd. Are we out of our minds?
Look, the whole point of vacation is to go somewhere and do everything you want to do. Do everything you like. If Hennessy is what Funch likes, hello, Cancun.
Okay,
that's a great photo.
Oh, that's a really good picture.
It's a great picture.
Yeah, he's like toasting.
Yeah.
First of all, that's actually Funches. The picture is him in a room, not on the beach. So he may be going with a different drink or liquor.
But how do we know that's Hennessy? Did he say it was Hennessy?
He told us.
He's a Hennessy on the rocks.
Because it could be bourbon. It could be anything, right?
Right, but that's Hennessy on ice, which feels much more like an in-your-room. You know, maybe it's a nightcap, or I guess, you know, it's vacation. It's a morning starter.
It's an eye opener starter.
But either way, though, I was picturing like a snifter of Hennessy neat.
A snifter.
Like in a 100-degree weather. Yeah, which you do you. Yeah. But
he said Hennessy is flowing like wine here.
Good for him. Have you been to an all-inclusive?
I've never done one.
Oh, you would be in trouble.
would I?
Oh, there's food everywhere.
Because, see, I could chill out on that.
You think you could?
No.
Like shrimp cocktail on every corner.
I could chill out on the food. Look, we talked about earlier today. I'm not saying, but the alcohol, I would have a hard time if I knew that there was no end in sight and there was no bill coming.
There is no end in sight. Yeah. There is no end.
Yeah. There's no end. Closing at 11. I mean, you're doing your work. They're open 7 a.m., 6 a.m. to 11.
There's people around.
Yeah, room service. That's all part of it, too.
All right. You're talking me into it.
The place that I stayed in Mexico near Cancun, Playa del Carmen, you can't go 20 yards without encountering a Dos Equis. Like it's impossible.
Right.
It is impossible to do it. And I didn't resist.
Was it part of the all inclusive?
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised that's.
I did all inclusive. Yeah, I mean, I did a few years back. I was actually a number of years back, but I always thought it was really cool that you didn't have to worry about the check at the end of the day, and you didn't have to, you know, like that's actually the cool part.
Do you get to the saturation point where you're like, I don't need another shrimp.
I've eaten enough,
and you have 3 days
I've eaten
left.
Enough.
You have 3 days left.
That's the thing I like. So I'm going
to make salads.
I'm going on vacation next week to Costa Rica. The one thing about that is I always come back weighing less than I did when I went because there's so much hiking and the food is really fresh and all that stuff.
That's what I was going to say. You end up, as much as it's unlimited everything food-wise, you realize once you leave America how little these other countries rely on everything processed and pre-made and all that stuff. So it's less caloric. Even though you're eating so much of it.
So Al asked an interesting question the other day about vacations. Mm-hmm. Are you a vacation guy and like you want to go sit on the beach or are you a trip guy? I want to go somewhere and do the things that are in that spot. I want to go see the sights. I want to meet the people. I want to be out and about active.
Try local restaurants, all that. Right. Or do you just want a vacation?
I just want to go camp out at one place. But the one place that I go to has got zip lining. It's got a thermal river. It's got whitewater inner tubing.
Damn, that's awesome.
So there's a river that runs right out of a volcano. So the further up, the closer you get to the volcano, the hotter the water gets. And it's flowing right out of the volcano. Wow. It's unbelievably cool. Yeah, really
feels
cool.
Like something out of Bond villain.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is cool and hot mineral bath. But I want the zip lining and I want the whitewater tubing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't do just like a week straight or 5 days straight of just sitting on a beach. A, I will get bored. B, I'll feel like I could have just done a staycation at Malibu as opposed to, like, leaving the country to do this. Like, I want to experience something.
But do you want, like, an itinerary? Okay, today we're getting these three spots. Yeah, tomorrow we're getting these three spots.
I want an itinerary. I don't want it to be three or four activities per day. One or two max.
Yeah.
I want to take in what I'm doing.
And then you could chill the rest
of
the day.
I recognize, like, I'm not going to see everything in this city or in this country. It's impossible. So just narrow down what I want to do and really take it in, really get that museum, get that, you know, historical building, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to see everything
in four days.
Yeah.
Slee, you strike me as somebody who's going to go try to see everything.
I'm going to try and go. I think that's actually the best way to put it. If you got one or two things planned during the day, you still got half the day left.
Yeah.
Or you still get home at 3 or you get back to the hotel.
Then you go crash at the pool.
3 or 4 o'clock and you could still do that. Trav doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, Trav, I just want to go there, camp out.
I want to put my feet up and have some food and hang out and relax and do nothing.
That's why all-inclusive is probably perfect for
I'm
you.
I'm okay with... What do you want to do today? Nothing. That sounds perfect.
I think it's okay to have days like that on vacation.
Absolutely nothing.
Like my brother goes on vacation, never stops. Never stops. He went to South America, went to Paraguay, Uruguay. I mean, he just kept going to
La Paz.
He did not go to La Paz.
Let me know.
Yeah, I will let you know when he gets to La Paz.
I got you.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Slee. Yeah. You have traveled all over the world. Like you're the only other person here, I think, is you and I have traveled to Africa, and yet you're fixated on this trip to La Paz.
But here's what happened. I wore the hat. And then all of a sudden, I tell like one or two stories about La Paz.
Emily, this was more than one or two stories.
It's like La Paz of Arabia. It's like,
And then all of a sudden, it was, let's guess, Al, where'd you go, La Paz? Or you got a story about La Paz?
Well, you seem to have a nice time. I thought you might go back.
I've worn the hat since.
Now, did you go like,
out of your hat.
Did you go like backpacking? Because I've heard you talk about Tanzania. I've heard you talk about, did you like go backpacking those places or how'd you go?
All right, Tanzania, I went, it was part of like a volunteer program. So you actually stay at a house
Oh, nice.
There for 2 weeks. But then there's a lot of things you did in between. So Serengeti.
No, yeah.
Ngorongoro.
Yep.
The safaris. There were 3 safaris that we did. But it's all kind of part of everything that you did. So you had days that you were actually working. You had other days you could completely.
No, that's cool.
Did
that's
you
cool.
do the yeah. backpack thing through Africa?
I did the backpack thing through Africa. I went Egypt, Dakar, Senegal. I went to Ghana. I went to Mali.
That's awesome.
I went to Mauritania.
Wow.
Those are my countries, yeah.
Did you do the safari?
I did not. There's all that is people. That's sub-Saharan Western Africa.
Okay.
It's just like real people. There's no animals. There's no lions
like
and tigers and bears. What's that?
Slee's been
Jordan?
To Jordan.
I've not been to Jordan.
Yeah. Last year went to Jordan only because I – so my best friend, it's so random to go to – I was – the plan was to go to Istanbul. I wanted to go to Turkey. And one of my best friends lives in Jordan. So – and when you have somebody that's there, like that random of a country
– sure.
You don't have to do anything.
Why? Yeah, right.
You guys ever been to San Luis Obispo?
I have. I've been to San Luis. It's nice.
You guys know where San Clemente is?
I like to go to, you know, San Luis Obispo, San Clemente. Every once in a while, we'll step out and go to San Diego.
Well, what's the wildest place you've ever gone? What's the, like, have you ever gone somewhere
well,
that
Phoenix.
We make us go?
The furthest I've ever been from home is Moscow.
Oh, yeah, Moscow.
Yeah. So I've been to Moscow. I've been to Helsinki. I've been to Stockholm. I did Europe.
Yeah,
kinda,
so you've been all over.
Along. But it was one trip where we hit all the spots. And I was a teenager. We were playing baseball. So it was kind of.
You were playing baseball in Finland and Sweden and
stuff?
Yeah,
so we took a trip. It was between graduated high school. It was before my freshman year of college. And it was a baseball trip. And we went all over the place.
Yeah.
And we played these places. They don't play baseball, right? So we're kind of teaching the locals how to play baseball. It was fun.
Yeah,
I would appreciate it more as an older person. As a 17-year-old, this place sucks.
It's hard.
They don't know how to play baseball.
They don't have any good
they
food
don't
here.
Even know by how
the
to
way,
play baseball.
By the way, you're doing an impression of yourself.
Michael. I was going to say, every time he talks
to
Michael.
We don't know how to play baseball.
That's right.
Well, you go. So the kids are all in college. I know Michael's the only one left, but you don't have to worry about them as much. Will you and Susan go? Will you guys
travel
go international trips?
Yeah, well, certainly more than we have leading up to this point. But no, I put it to you this way: we're not going to be the "where in the world are we going this summer" couple.
Where that in the world is Travis Rogers?
Yeah,
is not going to be a series.
He's on that those white
year.
Shores of Santorini. There he is.
You gotta go white shores of Santorini.
It's number one on the list.
Yeah. By the way, they're black shores. I don't know if you knew that.
I'm thinking of like the buildings that you
the
know,
buildings
that
would, are all white,
yeah.
but it's black sand beaches
in.
Santorini, it's crazy.
I got a question for you guys. Emily has told us today that she is in the top. Emily, correct me if I get the.
She's a one percenter.
Oh, she's a one percenter.
Oh,
she
Emily's
is in the
1%
of all Spotify listeners when it comes to time spent listening to Taylor Swift. And we
really
did the math.
Oh, wait, actually, don't tell them. Do you want them to guess?
Oh yeah, Emily, tell them. You take it from here.
All right, guys, so guess the amount.
Right,
guess how much you think.
The amount in time?
Yes, amount of minutes spent listening in a year to Taylor Swift
on
Spotify.
Or you could do it like
just
time per day. Like amount
time
of
per day maybe,
per
yeah.
Day. And keep in mind, every day. We average it out to every
seven
day.
Days a week.
I'll say 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
I'll go 47 minutes per day.
M?
68. Is that what we decided
Whoa!
On?
I think by the way, my math.
No, it's right. Somebody else sent the math in.
Yeah,
it's 68 minutes a day.
68
Keep in
minutes
mind,
a day.
She released several albums last year. She released Evermore, Folklore, Red Taylor's version, Fearless Taylor's version.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so I have some.
She
examples.
Destroyed Jake Gyllenhaal
yes,
in a song.
Of
yeah.
course.
But I just to if you listen an hour and 8 minutes a day, and
a
you
lot.
Said you didn't listen every day, right?
No.
So that means the next day you got to do 216.
Got double up.
I had that really long road
yeah.
trip. That's when I traveled across the country. Like, these are all these things that add up.
Now, I'll say this. I've been to a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, I'd go to a Taylor
Swift
concert.
Oh, she's great.
What?
She puts on a really good show.
Yet.
You haven't been yet.
Wait
yeah, they
a
did
second.
They
I haven't
across.
Been.
Hey, this is
need
I'm
to.
So
maybe
I
get off
have
the
money.
Spotify and buy a ticket, Emily.
Yeah.
She, her, one, they are very expensive. Two, I just haven't had that much money around to spend. It's a lot of money to go
but
see Taylor Swift.
But this is obviously something that's terribly important to you.
And I really want to see her.
You
have
GoFundMe, Emily.
She hasn't been
to
on
go
tour
to a Taylor
since
Swift
2018.
Concert.
So you guys want to hear something. The time I went to see a Taylor Swift concert, she always brings like a famous person up, you know, to like perform or hang
oh,
out
who
with
was
her
yours? Lisa Kudrow?
Kobe Bryant.
Wow. No, yeah.
They unveiled the banner for most number of sellouts in the history of Staples Center. So Kobe was there to unveil the banner for Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really cool.
So she's looking at SoFi Stadium, though. So that might be the next one if she does a tour soon.
She was. They canceled the show
there.
Yeah.
Not the best seat, not the worst seat. What is that going to run him?
A lot.
A couple hundred bucks.
Yes.
For a good seat.
Yes.
We can make it. Yeah.
You know, the one thing that came to me when I went to that concert was, and you know, the music is, I like the music and all that, but I thought, you know, if I was a dad and I had a kid, a daughter, and she was idolizing Taylor Swift, I would think.
Her dad's a fan too.
I would think, you know what? She's a good role model. Taylor Swift seems like a genuinely nice person. So I think there are, it's good to spend that much time
and
with
Taylor
Swift.
She uses her private plane a lot, but that's okay.
When's she coming to town?
Not announced yet. So, it's going to be potentially next year, but she's scoped out some stuff. But she hasn't been on tour for a while. Her mom's sick. That's why she hasn't been on tour.
Okay.
You need to start a good idea folder for me because I got something for her that we're going to need to take.
Yeah, get a new idea folder. Yeah. How many idea folders do you have?
Two now.
Two.
Emily keeps one for
me. And it's
me,
a lot.
And I got, yeah. Got
Slee, do you keep an idea? Slee's pointing at his head. Oh, yeah. They're all
steel
traps.
Yeah. So many good ones.
There are just one thing after the next. One thing after the next. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. And your boy Kimbrel nearly did it again last night, Mace.
Yes, he did.
What, nearly blow it again?
You let a couple of runners. Just a little traffic.
Yeah, Dave Roberts.
Just a little traffic.
Dave's like, everything's okay.
I love the press conference.
It was fine. That's always encouraging.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
It was fine. What'd you think of Krimble? It was fine.
Hey.
Other than the walks.
He's like, how about Muncy?
I'm trying to remember. What was the final score of the game?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Did it really matter all that much? Wouldn't you like to see him, I don't know, get people out easily? Super Crosstalk brought to you by Coors Light. I already did that. Mason and Ireland coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
1:15 in the Southland on a Thursday. It is time for Mason's favorite day of the week that moved 2 days. It is a live imaging Thursday.
Yes.
On Mason and Ironwood, except Johnny I's not here.
No.
The great. Is it Brian or Andy?
Andy. Andy Kamineski. That looks like Andy.
Welcome, Andy. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Chris. You look dapper.
Thank you so much. I'm going to bring this up since I always do Boogie Night Spritz with Andy.
Yes.
The great John Ironwood. I know we mentioned this in Super Crosstalk.
Yes.
He texted me yesterday from Idaho.
Oh, that's really nice.
And he was happy about the Boogie Nights bit or the drop we used in the Travis and Sliwa open. So not only is he texting just me.
Right.
He's also listening to Travis and Sliwa on the app driving through Idaho. He even gave me a little heart emoji at the end.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did.
No.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I want to see it. He did not.
That was the drop, by the way.
I've never seen a heart emoji from John Ireland.
It was a heart emoji.
I think he's not a heart emoji guy.
He's a texting me guy on vacation. Well, apparently, the reports are in that he will not reply to a text from you or corporate Greg.
Okay, in fairness.
Or Jorge.
I have not sent John Ireland a text. I know the role here is he's on vacation. Don't think about work. Go do your Idaho things, whatever that would mean.
Well, you know what it means.
What does it mean?
We'll talk about it later. Let's get the show rolling. The biggest show on the radio, Mason and Ireland, is on for your Thursday right now. Nice socks, by the way. We'll get to that later, too.
Yeah, fine. God.
Long-running list of things we're getting to later.
Looking at my
socks. Those socks were ridiculous.
We'll talk about it later. The socks were fine.
No, they were weird.
Yeah, they were fine. You are the only people who noticed, I can tell you that much. Who's the board op today? What's your name?
His name is Jeff.
I'm Tyler.
Tyler. Tyler, I like the enthusiasm with which you said it, but Tyler, I'm going to ask you a favor.
I'm here for you.
We're not going to wear Boston crap in here, like F Boston. You realize you're wearing a Boston Red Sox hat.
It's a UCLA hat. It's just different colors.
No.
That's Red Sox.
Take off that red hat.
That hat.
We don't do that.
Off with your hat, sir.
Can I turn it backwards?
No, because then I have to look at it.
Right, then Bergman has to
What
look
about
at
inside
it.
Out? What if he turns it inside out?
A rally cap?
Then it's a rally cap.
Rally cap?
The Dodgers are rallying right now.
I kicked one of you guys out of here when you were wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat.
That was probably Brian.
God, I hate the Cardinals.
They have a way.
Yeah. How's your big podcast? Your big,
Locked On Lakers?
Locked On Lakers.
5 days a week.
It's on the YouTube. It's on
the YouTube. It's available, Steve, everywhere you get your podcast. Never behind a paywall.
So I would imagine.
Doing well.
Yesterday was a big day for the Locked On Lakers. It was big here with the Lakers. Now, I want to get your take on LeBron James, $97.1 million extension.
The Lakers just officially announced it. I just got the email. So it is signed, sealed, delivered. LeBron has a 2-year extension, a 1+1, second year being the player option.
Wait, but 1+1 or 2+1?
1+1.
1+1. And that times up.
The year that's coming up was under contract anyway.
Okay, so now he's here for three years.
Yeah,
this year, next year.
Right, the longest he could do because of CBA rules and his age. Is there you go. Nice work.
I like that.
1+1.
1+1.
And the second is a player option.
So now Ramona was talking yesterday. No side has leverage here. Now, my interpretation of this is that LeBron James likes being in LA. Yeah. LeBron James likes this lifestyle. Kids go to school here, all that stuff. Family's happy, etc. I don't think there was any ever question that he was going to sign an extension.
I did not find this even slightly suspenseful.
Now, what was not even suspenseful, because I thought it was, he didn't have to sign it until June the 30th. Why did he sign it now, do you think?
Because why deal with the questions of this for an entire season?
True.
Why get asked about it after every practice,
yep,
after every game, every city you go to? Why have this linger over the team?
Right.
Because it's going to become a story. And if you know deep down, the odds of me leaving are really small,
if
non-existent. And whatever leverage he could create from this, I think was actually pretty minuscule also. It's pretty limited to begin with.
Right.
Just get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way so you don't have to deal with it. And then the front office, the moves that we know they're trying to make.
Right.
Whatever moves Rob Pelinka now makes.
Let me just ask, you said the moves we know they're trying to make. Like, what do
trading
you
Russell
know?
Trading Russell Westbrook.
That, okay.
Trading
that,
Russell
that
Westbrook.
Part of it. That
yes.
part of it, yes.
I think it's been plainly clear.
I was not sure what you were speaking of, but yes.
No,
this Russell Westbrook piece.
They are all different incarnations of a Russell Westbrook deal. You know, I mean, someone like Talen Horton Tucker could be on the table.
Yeah.
But the main thing is Russ. Everybody knows they're looking to do this, but what would be bad is if the Lakers made a desperate move because they feel like they got to dazzle LeBron. They got to prove their loyalty
to LeBron. But
he already
signed.
Exactly.
There's no requirement to dazzle anymore.
And now Rob Pelinka, to whatever degree these deals are actually possible, he doesn't have to do it from a place of fear. And now the Lakers don't have to do it from a place of disadvantage.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Actually, I'll ask you this. If I tell you LeBron James is going to be healthy and productive for this upcoming season, and Anthony Davis is going to give us 70 games, can that team win a championship?
I think they're just below the cemented contenders, and I got to see what this looks like in terms of the new guys they brought
in.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know Lonnie Walker IV and Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Right.
I just don't know. Troy Brown.
I got to see what Kendrick Nunn looks like as a, like, living human being.
I didn't even know he was. Yeah, he's still under contract. I didn't know he was going to show.
I think you got a foundation there.
Right.
I would not put them at the level of Golden State. I would
Phoenix.
Not, Phoenix. The Clippers, if healthy.
Not even Memphis.
Probably not Memphis. You know, maybe not Denver.
That's feeling 5 or 6-y to me.
But if these other guys fit well, if Russell Westbrook either turns into a better fitting player or Russell Westbrook responds better to Darvin Ham, recognizes if I want to play in this league moving forward, I can't have another season where I don't look like I fit in.
Or Darvin Ham just says, go sit there.
Right.
While we play.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's the other. He's been given broad capabilities or broad authority to be able to do that.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is there were a lot of reports last season that Frank Vogel, who we saw bench Russell Westbrook a few times down the stretch of games,
yep,
that Vogel actually had the authority to do that stuff. he was actually the guy often standing in the way of it because he thought he would lose Russ.
Right.
And he had, you know, to whatever degree Vogel thought his job was safe, and I think he recognized it wasn't.
Sure.
But to whatever degree he was trying to coach for his job, he needed to try to build a relationship of some kind with Russ.
Right.
Darvin Ham doesn't have to worry about that. Darvin Ham knows he's going to outlast Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, unless he plays at like an undisputed MVP level,
won't be here next year.
He ain't going to be here next
year.
That gives Darvin Ham a lot of freedom in the way he goes about trying to find the best way to use Westbrook, assuming Westbrook's going to be on the team.
That leads to the natural, I mean, the next natural question, which is, Andy, do you believe in love?
I do believe in love.
You do?
I do believe in love.
Bergman, do you believe in love?
Not anymore. I mean, I believe in it. It's still a real thing, but I want to marry
you just
for
don't believe it for
money.
You.
He wants money. To marry for money and not for love. Oh, God. Listen.
This is Mason. Love will keep us together.
Playing the role of John Ireland today.
Am I nuts Gregory. Or will love keep us together?
No, Ireland says only marry an heiress. Do not marry for love.
Dance like John Ireland.
This is the John Ireland dances.
Whitest man on the planet.
He really is. He really
love
is.
Will keep us together, says Mason.
No way. Mason, I mean, it's really crazy when you think about Ireland's estate. You know, I mean, Ireland's got a pretty good estate.
Oh, Ireland's he's got a beautiful mansion,
a
really
mansion,
cool
man
neighborhoods,
all that stuff.
Gated community,
and
all that.
Still not enough for him. He still is trying to live vicariously through Greg Bergman's future wealth.
He's trying to get me an heiress. So, you know what? I'm going to go with John on this situation. All right, Andy, let me ask you this way. Let's say it's not going to happen, but you and your wife are no longer together.
You and Anna.
Yeah, me and
you and Anna are no longer together.
And you married for love.
I did marry. I did not marry for wealth.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, it's been a couple years. Mm-hmm. You want to get married again. How are you getting married? Are you getting married for love or for money?
Well, it's.
If you can get an heiress, are you going to go with the heiress or are you going
to
go with.
She's got to be an heiress. She has to be an heiress that's good with children because I have a daughter and she is going to be in my life. But to sort of.
Heiress is, by the way, known for being good with children.
No, oh, yeah.
They just take off their tiara and they.
When I watch those Real Women, you know, all those housewives, all I think of is motherly.
Good mom.
Great with kids.
She's a good mom.
So good.
Yeah.
But like, you don't need a mom.
Once they put down that fifth mojito, their mothering skills just kick
just
right in.
Just pulled a weave off somebody.
Okay, well,
son.
This is actually a discussion that I've talked about on air, but I've had this discussion with my wife. My wife.
Hold it then.
Okay. I will hold this.
We'll do it next. Plus, one woman, very disappointed that she married for love. And, hey, did you see what Craig Kimbrell did last night? Exactly. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, God. Is that what we're in for?
Well, it is a live imaging Thursday. And while this was originally the Clinton Yates theme song, by the way, how great was it Clinton getting clobbered all over the area?
Oh, Clinton. Professor Yates.
And then he invited himself for this afternoon. For Sedano and Cap, the reunion. Sedano's finally back from vacation. We're all here. And he's like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll stop by. And Lindsay,
is he going to teach teach some soccer?
Producer Lindsay goes, are you invited? And everybody rolls. Poor CY. I love him.
I love CY.
You don't, though.
I texted him after. You want to bet?
What did you say? CY? Oh, hey, listen, I know Morales is going a little rough on you, but it ain't me, man. It ain't me.
Do you want the actual text message I sent?
Hey, loved having you here today.
Oh, well, you're kind of close.
Yeah, and I know.
You're kind of close.
How would Julian read this?
Oh, Julian.
I sent a text.
Consigliere, his
said, you bring a great energy to the station. Big fan. That's all.
You're such a fake.
Why is that fake?
Clinton does bring a great
he
energy.
He does bring because a great energy.
Thank you.
He gets all fired
when
up.
When somebody is targeted by the imaging missiles,
yeah,
and then everybody comes after him, mm-hmm, what Mace has to do is be the other guy so he stands out. Like, hey, man, those guys are crazy. You know, I never wanted live imaging. I don't even think Morales
I
should be here.
I love live imaging. I think every day should be live imaging.
No, easy.
Oh, look, boss Amanda says no.
She's not here. Oh. She's at lunch with Sliwa.
Oh, wow.
Sliwa's got some issues.
Well,
I probably should have said that out loud, but why not?
That'd be a laugh.
Wow.
Right?
You're just dropping bombs already.
That's going to be a crack up of a meeting.
I don't think they want me to talk. I need to talk more Lakers. I know what the people want. I see my Twitter feed. Meanwhile, Mason in Ireland. I love that his Twitter's about to go crazy downstairs.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then he's going to get out of
he's
this.
He's going to wonder, what happened?
Oh, he'll know.
He'll know.
Mason in Ireland with Andy Kamenetsky continues now.
All right. By the way, Morales, you're good for this.
Well, that sounds like a John. That's what John always does to me.
Bergman, yeah, well, I mean, you're here, so you're part of it all. So
he's trolling me on my side.
The whole mishpucha.
Yeah, so you heard this conversation. This is an ongoing conversation.
About your socks?
John wants, first of all, my socks are fine, but let's save the socks.
Okay.
Because here's where we're going right now. So yes. Bergman says the next time he gets married, it's going to be for money.
You're not getting married, though, honestly, again.
Probably not.
But that's for the
but
best.
But if I would, yeah, it is for the best, honestly.
You'll get married again.
You say that.
He falls in love, I think.
Yeah, you do fall in love.
He's a fallen lover.
You'd like to think that, but that's not true. but either way, I don't want to marry for love again.
Morales, will you marry for love or marry for money or...
Well, I'm driving another woman's car right now who's in New York, and it's a really nice car, so I think that pretty much tells you.
Yeah, you're driving her car.
Yep. Told you
there
to be
you
on
go.
My side.
Yeah.
No, I would marry for money, but probably not because I still would get annoyed.
Well, no, that's part of the
I
deal.
I still want to be left alone 5 out of 7 days. But well, if they're really successful in business, like she is,
yeah,
she's also busy, so she leaves me alone.
It sounds like you will get married for the setup. It sounds like you will get married
for
the setup of the marriage.
No, like, absolutely.
The setup matters more than either the money or the person.
Well, I mean, are you still in love? Let's be honest.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
So yes. you're like, I want to marry you as long as you're out of town 5 days a week.
I believe that a perfect relationship is 1 day a week.
You know what?
Maybe there's a bonus. Like, I'm a great boyfriend 1 night a week.
Oh,
Saturday night, I take you to a great restaurant. Everything, the accoutrement will be great.
Yes.
The love will be great.
You are what they call a catch. The women
you know what, though? Okay, to Morales' point, the best relationship I think I've ever seen was my mom's parents, my grandparents on that side. And my grandfather was a traveling salesman.
See?
He was gone Monday through Friday.
What'd he sell? Encyclopedia?
Clothes.
Vacuum cleaners?
Clothes.
Clothes, okay.
Well, I mean, back then, that's what they did.
That is right. What they did, yeah.
He traveled all over the country. He was involved with a store that had wares all over America and whatever. But he was gone 5 days a week, and I'm telling you.
And that was the secret to your grandparents'
exactly.
marriage.
Exactly.
They didn't see each other a lot.
It may very well have been, because I'm telling you, I never saw them argue. I never saw them even seem annoyed with each other. Absence made the heart grow fonder.
Do you really think Juan enjoys seeing you every day?
I do.
Really?
I do. I enjoy seeing Juan every day.
Well, I believe that. That's not what Chris was asking.
Exactly.
It's a two-way
you
street.
You don't think when you get home today, he's going to go, oh, you're here again?
No, he's going to go... You're home!
Uh-huh.
And my dogs are going to go, you're home!
What is that, a 1955 sitcom?
Yes, it is.
He's just waiting for you to get home?
Okay, thank you, Christopher.
1 day a week. Maybe a Tuesday lunch, if you're nice.
Tuesday lunch. All right, thank you very much. Live imaging Tuesday.
Need to lock out again?
That goes on. Yeah, lock out again.
Mason in Ireland continues right now.
Okay, so I mentioned that there's a woman who is very unhappy that she married for love instead of money. This is from TikTok. Some unnamed lady who was on TikTok, and she left this message for the world.
Back when I was young and hot, I should have married for money, but no, because I was in love. Stupid.
See, she gets it.
Okay, first of all,
no.
Maybe that lady back in the day was hot and just life has worn on her.
Yes.
That is the least hot sounding voice I've ever heard
not,
in my life.
It's right. She does not sound hot. Let's do it one more time.
Back when I was young and hot, I should have married for money. But no, because I was in love.
She sounds like the
stupid.
She sounds like the bitter version of Ethan.
No.
She had a bad, let's face it, she had a really bad relationship. Whatever her marriage was like no good.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party? Hoedown on your phone?
Hoedown. No.
Hoedown. Like he's from Baltimore.
He does sound like he's from Baltimore.
So, yeah, Bergman, look, there's one lady who got burned. Morales, not in that.
There's
camp
more than one
love.
Lady that's gotten burned. There's more than one guy that's gotten burned.
I know one lady who got burned.
No, I got burned.
Yeah, I think love is very underrated. I'm going to stick up for love on this show. All right. Yeah, I get it. Is that you or you? Or both? Yeah, that was him. You know, one thing that we didn't mention yesterday, I'm going to pivot right out of this. Thank you. It is a fact, by the way, that every day, if you ever come to LA Live, there are these big cement kind of round records in the ground. Mm-hmm. So I walk by the Captain and Tennille one every single day. Best record, 1976, Love Will Keep Us Together. We were talking about this earlier. What's weird is everybody in the 70s got a variety show. It's like they had a variety show. Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight, a variety show. The best one of all. Shields and Yarnell. Now, nobody knows who Shields and Yarnell is. Do you know Morales? They were mimes.
Will Michael Thompson know who Shields and Yarnell is?
No, this is 70. They were mimes, and they got their own they got their own variety show.
On TV?
On TV, mimes.
Okay, how did the introduction work?
Oh, it's like walking against wind. I'm stuck in a glass box.
But, like,
all
how
that
does
stuff.
The show start if nobody can talk? Like, who introduces
mime routine.
Them?
Mime routine.
Do their guests talk, or is it just the
I
two
I think
of
their
them?
Guests did talk. I don't remember. Not everybody was
like
walking against
hour.
Wind. Yeah, everybody hates mimes. All right, so Craig Kimbrell last night. You watched Craig Kimbrell last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you get with Craig Kimbrell. It's an e-ticket ride. He did get the save last night. He did retire the first two batters before giving up a hit and a walk. But he did get the save. And to everybody out there who's like, Mason, you're so stupid, you're going to keep going to Craig Kimbrell. What? I forget the final score last night. Did we win? Yes. Does Craig Kimbrell still have an opportunity to figure it out? Yes.
Do you think he's going to figure it out?
Yes.
Really? You actually think he's going to figure this out?
Well, do I think he's going to is different from should I let him continue to try to figure it out? I think there's a chance he figures it out.
Right now, there really is no harm in letting him try to figure this
thing
out. They've got a billion game lead in the division.
Yep.
And there's also, there's no loyalty to Craig Kimbrell.
No, none whatsoever.
This is what makes it different than the issues the Dodgers had the last couple seasons with Kenley Jansen.
Yep.
Because there was politics involved with that. Like the idea of this guy is a Dodger lifer so far. He is one of the best closers in Dodger history, and he's one of us. So,
I'm not talking to you.
Okay. Makes it interesting. Makes it more.
I'm talking to the booth while you're talking. I didn't mean to distract you. Apparently, you can't do multiple things.
Well, no, you know what it was? I've seen you, we've worked together a million times. I've seen you talk to the booth before. I've never seen you do it so dramatically, though. You did it very dramatic.
Keep it down.
No, but it was like, now coming.
Because I didn't want to interrupt you.
But I thought you were doing a bit. I thought you were actually announcing Craig Kimbrell. That's what I actually thought.
Oh, yeah, no.
But it's different now. Like, Craig Kimbrell, he's on a one-year deal. There's no loyalty towards him.
No loyalty. By the way, there's no guarantee he's going to close in the postseason, and even if he gets good. Could be Julio Urias or Dustin May.
Most of the guys that could theoretically take his place, other than, I guess, Evan Phillips, they're all hurt anyway.
Right.
So what difference does it make if, as long as things don't really fall apart, might as well let him try to figure this thing out, because then, once you eventually replace him, he's got nothing to complain about.
What do you consider falling apart? Because they kind of already have fallen apart.
Did they win or did they lose last night? Did
last,
he wiggle
okay,
out of
you're
it
really
or did
really
going
to take last night as the way for it to go? He's pitching seven games in August. He's given up runs in four of them.
No, I'm not saying he hasn't fallen apart. He's in pieces right
now.
Yeah,
okay,
I completely agree with that. I'm talking about the Dodgers. The Dodgers have a 17-game lead.
That's not
going to
happen. That's
not
going to happen.
That's my point.
So give somebody a shot to be in that role.
Why give someone a shot?
Because you know he's not going to be there.
The person may be a AAA right now. It could be Blake Treinen.
Do you?
he's not even on the roster at the moment.
Do you think that Craig Kimbrell is going to be closing out games in the postseason?
There's a chance.
No, no. It's a yes or no question. Do you think?
No, I don't.
No, I don't
know
want
if
there's
gonna,
a chance.
Don't give me
yes
that.
Or
first
no.
of all, don't
yes
turn things
no.
around on me. Because
I'm not turning
anything.
You're trying to turn around on me.
In that chair.
This is. You're trying to turn it around on me.
No, I'm in the big boy chair, and you're over
that
there.
Doesn't I'm asking you a question. It doesn't matter what chair we're in.
Yeah,
just answer the
you're
question.
You're asking me if I know. I
no,
don't
I don't know.
If he's going to figure it out.
I don't
I'm
know.
He might figure it out.
Steve, do
Gregory.
You think this is an opinion-based
Gregory
question?
Gregory A.
Steven.
Erdman.
Yes.
Steven.
Yes.
Do you think he's going to be closing out games in the postseason?
Can I not? How can I not say there's a chance?
This is what you think. It's your own mind.
Right, that's what I think. I think there's a chance. I
can't believe you can't say yes or no.
I'm not going to say yes or no.
It's ridiculous.
The answer
We're
to everything is a yes or no. It's not
my answer
down,
is no.
White,
Andy,
black,
no.
It's not that.
No. There, see, was that difficult?
No.
Apparently it is.
Because you
Steven.
Don't know, but you still don't know.
I'm asked, do I think this will right. happen?
I saw Dave Roberts say a bunch of nice things about him last night.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine.
I bet if you ask Dave Roberts now, do you think he's going to be closing in the playoffs? He'll say no. Like, if you actually got him in a locked room, you know it's you've swept for bugs. You
lie
know
detector test.
Yeah, inject him with a little sodium pentothal. You know that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, right.
Say, do you think Craig Kimbrell is going to be closing high leverage games in the playoffs? Dave Roberts going to be no.
I don't know.
He won't.
What if he locks in? What if he turns into the guy from the first half last year
as
that had
of
a
right
.48 ERA?
God, you're talking about a year and a half ago at this point.
I'm talking about last year.
I just think there's
last season.
There's better options than him, assuming they're healthy.
Look, Evan Phillips is I think he'd be a great closer. But I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. I think the most important pitcher on the staff may be the guy that comes in the seventh inning or the eighth inning with two runners on or the bases loaded. I saw Evan Phillips get out of
him. Kimbrel's going to be that guy either.
He's definitely not that guy. He's not your seventh inning guy. That's your Blake Treinen. That's your Evan Phillips. That's the really tough part. Closing is different. Closing, you at least come in with the bases empty.
Let me ask you something. I mean, first of all, I think it could be Dustin May. When he
can totally
comes
be
back.
Dustin May, although I also figure him into the rotation potentially.
Okay.
He struck out 10 in 5 innings on Sunday.
Speaking of the rotation, and some of this has to do with his health and how, you know, how many innings do you think he can go?
Yep.
But I think it was over at CBS Sports. I was reading a roundtable of guys talking about the Craig Kimbrell situation and who it could be if it's not him. And one of the writers threw out the idea that Kershaw, let's just say he comes back, and you don't know exactly where he is. You know he's going to be on the staff. He's not going to be deactivated, but you don't know if he's really a guy that can give you 5-6 innings consistently. Would you consider Clayton Kershaw, one inning, letting him go crazy for one inning, throw his best stuff, not have to worry about his body?
I'm going to use a word I've never used before on the show. Preposterous.
Really?
That is preposterous. Clayton Kershaw is not going to be your closer. He's not going to be your high leverage closer.
Well,
I want to know the name of that baseball guy who was part of that panel who actually suggested that.
I will look this up.
I question their credit. Am I right? Of all the people, Kershaw's like way down the list of guys you would want to bring in the ninth inning.
Okay.
Zero chance.
Name is Matt Snyder.
Matt!
Matt Snyder.
Nat or Matt?
Matt.
Matt Snyder.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
Kershaw recently said he's focusing on October as he deals with a back injury. Maybe he'll only be able to pitch in short spurts. They'll have a full rotation because they're so stacked with depth. How about trying Kershaw in a short relief?
So here's what I know of Kershaw. He's got a back injury. It's not believed to be serious. They know they don't need him during the regular season. They're going to tune him up in September for the playoffs. I believe Clayton Kershaw will be in the playoff rotation, despite what Matt Snyder wants to go to Kershaw.
He said, let's go nuts. Let's think a little bit outside the box.
Am I nuts here?
Am I nuts, or could Clayton Kershaw be the closer?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about if, say, you don't feel totally confident about him going 5 or 6 innings on a regular basis, and you don't want to use that spot, say, in like game 2 or 3, that could be really important on a guy you're not feeling totally confident about physically, and you have other options, maybe you put Clayton Kershaw.
By the way, are you better
role.
After last night with Tony Gonsolin? Are you starting to eat your words a little bit? He's going to be a force in the postseason.
He's
Bergman.
Been fantastic. I hope he stays that way. I still am not confident in him in the postseason.
Yeah,
I mean,
everything I see, he looks.
He's been
just
great,
spectacular.
Been
all right,
the Catman.
Coming up next for you, we will spin the wheel of questions. You never know what's going to come up. Andy Kamenetsky is in for John on a live imaging Tuesday. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Save the gossip for next segment.
It's a really good story.
Mason and Ireland, your Thursday Live Imaging Thursday. It's time for Wheel of Questions, driven by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Jorge's not here. Producer Jorge's off today. So producer Tyler, who's sitting in, you got that wheel? Hit it, homeboy. Oh, he hit that pretty quickly.
Yeah, he did.
He was quick on that
timing
trigger finger. That's good.
Good
job.
And here we go. Andy Kamenetsky.
Yeah.
Would the world be better if technology were similar to what it was 200 years ago, or your tech described in your favorite sci-fi movie or novel? So in other words, would you rather it be, what would it be, 1800?
1822.
1822 or Blade Runner. Which are we better off?
Oh, my God.
1822 or Blade Runner. I'm trying to think. We were covered wagons in 1822.
1822 was a rough time to be
no
living,
phone.
Man. No phones. I don't even
no
know.
No electricity.
I don't even know if you had toilets then.
Yeah, you may not have had toilets.
It's the outhouses. That was the outhouses era.
So, but think about it. Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, you got yourself some flying cars.
Gigantic billboards everywhere.
But you have replicants.
Replicants, right.
You do have replicants.
You got Sean Young doing handstands and stuff.
And it's always raining.
It is always raining in the future.
It is always raining.
Did you see the new Batman movie?
Yeah.
100% chance of rain every day in Gotham City. 100%.
God, why does
it was rainy season.
Why does anybody live in Gotham City?
It is really a crap town.
It's awful.
Yeah, it
it's
really is a terrible place to live.
It's all crime. It's all killing.
Yeah.
It's like five wealthy people.
You've got
people
crazy people with makeup
it's
trying to blow the city up. Yeah.
The police force, incompetent. They rely on one man.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon's the only guy they got.
Right, they rely on one man in a bat suit who is bat bleep crazy to handle everything. It's overrun with arch criminals.
Yes, it is.
Why does it, and it's a big city. It seems like cost of living's high.
Yeah.
Why does anybody live in Gotham City?
Very good question. It's a very good question. But you didn't answer the real question.
I would
1850 technology or Blade Runner technology?
Blade Runner, because 1822 just seems rough. That seems like a rough
time. It was a tough
time.
Wasn't that like the Dust Bowl and stuff like that?
Dust Bowl. You get like
that was a real John Steinbeck novel.
You get a small cold, you could be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
they
didn't know how to fix anything.
Oh, that's true. You couldn't operate, you couldn't treat illnesses.
You're 11 years old, you're getting married. It's a difficult time.
Yeah.
It's like Oregon Trail, you're dying from dysentery.
Right, exactly. So, Bergman, 1822 or Blade Runner?
See, I wanted to go with 1822 just because I didn't have, you know, phones or pages or anything like that growing up in the 80s. So I thought maybe it'd be like that, but it's not. You don't have toilets or TV or any of that type of stuff. Just give me the Blade Runner. I need some technology.
You know what you're asking for. Flying cars, robot ladies.
Yeah, I know.
Around.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but you're also going to die in 1822.
Okay, so
it's really
like
how you die.
Tripping.
Let's
over
go
a rock.
To Tyler, who took his Red Sox hat off. Hey, Tyler, what would you choose?
I got to go with Greg. I'm so technology dependent. There's no way.
Yeah, see, I'm going back to 1822. I think there were simpler times. I think you could take everybody at face value. I feel like, you know, you'd go
no
on
robbers
a long,
back then.
You'd go on a long covered wagon ride, and it would be a real bonding experience for the family.
No air conditioning.
No air conditioning. Or it'd be warm.
Freezing
be
to warm, death.
Freezing. It'd be freezing sometimes.
It would take so long, things. Mace, for people to hear your voice. Like the shows that you did in 1822.
It would be like folklore.
It would take like...
passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, like a week later, the people in Pennsylvania and Maine would be hearing about Mace's radio.
It's true.
Maybe he'd give a yes or no answer to something.
Oh, screw you.
Oh, like you know the answer.
I didn't say
you're
I know the answer,
like
but I have an
answer.
Opinion. I say yes or no
Will
when asked a yes or no
Mordecai
question.
Will Three Finger Mordecai be in the postseason roster? Yes or no, Mace?
Yes or no. All right, there you have it. I think the future is going to be better than everybody else does. I know I chose 1822, but I'm not afraid of the future. Like people like Ireland and Bergman are afraid of the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think there's... Look, I am all for a robot dog. Like robot dogs. Have you seen the robot dogs?
I've not seen a robot
dog. They're adorable.
Not only are they robot dogs, adorable. They have guns on not the back of their backs.
I remember. Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You want some of those running
around?
The robot
police dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, robot police dogs. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
They're not just going to all of a sudden malfunction a little bit and start shooting everyone.
They're trained by the police. I'm a little skeptical.
No.
That's a good point, too.
All right. Hey, real quick, I want to get this in. We don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's just not what we do. But Deshaun Watson. Suspended officially for 11 games with a $5 million fine. What was your take on that, Andy?
I understand why people are upset.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people upset by this.
Yes.
A lot of women upset by this.
Yep.
And there is no real accounting from this, whether you're talking about from the original suspension of 6 games or the arbitration, other than Deshaun Watson, you know, maintaining his innocence while simultaneously apologizing.
Right.
Nobody seems to think that he did not do what he is accused of multiple times over. What I think is really interesting about this, though, is, you know, the original 6-game sentence that went down, the judge that was involved said that she thought he was guilty of all of this.
Yes.
But gave it 6 games basically because of the NFL's own bylaws. And if you remember back, those bylaws were created off the Ray Rice incident,
right,
which went from 2 games to 6 games because of the outrage over the 2-game suspension and the NFL kind of making this up as they went. And the NFL is just always going to be in a position where they feel like they're scrambling,
right,
on a situation like this, because the truth is they're not really equipped to handle a situation like this that is, you know, obviously delicate from a social situation, but it's a legal situation.
Right.
And the NFL isn't really equipped to do something.
Well, first of all, I believe the women, there are, what, 20 women, I think, at this point?
There's too many.
They all corroborate each other, and clearly something went on along the lines of the description that we've heard. Now,
there's too many for him to have been looking for a regular conventional massage. There's
correct.
Too many that he sought out that way. When you're part of an NFL team and they can set you up with a professional massage, there's too many times of him doing it.
So here's my sticking point is, all right, so Deshaun Watson's side and the NFL side, they agree to an independent arbitrator, a former judge, and say, look, we're going to make our case. He's going to make his case. You make the decision. You can't then throw out the decision and say, okay, we're just going to come up with our own punishment, which is essentially what they did. Now, they negotiated it with Deshaun Watson, so they agreed to it. Weirdly, his first game with the Browns will be against the Houston Texans,
right,
11 weeks into the season.
I would like to think that is a pure coincidence.
Okay, so we actually did, Bergman did some homework. This is a coincidence, because if Deshaun Watson misses more than 11 games this year, his contract for next year will not vest. So he has to play at least 11, or he doesn't get the big money that he signed for, the largest guarantee in NFL history. So that's why it's 11.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I also think it is just pure coincidence is the NFL, whatever credibility you think they have in this entire situation, it all goes out the window.
Right.
If they decided to give a little zazz to Deshaun Watson's return, like, ooh, let's create some drama, he's going back to Houston.
That's the conspiracy.
Well, if they did that, I can promise you that will get leaked.
Absolutely.
And they're aware of it. Like, there's somebody inside the NFL is going to be offended by that, and they will make sure that we know the NFL was trying to create drama by making his first NFL appearance
against his former team.
I will never give the NFL the automatic benefit of the doubt on pretty much anything.
Yep.
This one, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Coming up next, yesterday we had a conversation. Who's the smartest person you ever worked with? Who's the smartest person you ever worked with besides me?
Oh, so wow. Well, thank you for taking that off.
Yeah, I took myself off the table.
The smartest person I ever, well, I'll tell you who I think would answer that for me, Max Kellerman.
Kellerman's one of the smartest people I've worked with.
Yeah, I don't think Kellerman is...
Sometimes too smart for his own good.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think Kellerman is quite as smart as he thinks he is, but that's only because nobody is as smart as Kellerman thinks he is.
Correct.
But now, Kellerman's pretty smart.
The smartest person I've ever worked with is Jim Lampley.
Oh.
And he will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.